Reading this evening is Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 47. Now when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
The book of Acts covers the first 30 years of the history of the church. First 30 years. It's a book of conversions, but it's also been called a book of action. And you know, before everything was written, the Bible was the word was very scarce. And a lot of people didn't know how to read. Now, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to teaching. Public worship, public speaking from the Word of God. And you think about it, brethren had to listen attentively to the message that the person who could read could give the teaching, and they had to try to remember it. And they did that, repetition. See, repetition is the key of growing. There's nothing new. There's 66 books in the Bible, and I don't care who preaches and teaches. You may look at Galatians, and you study that book, and you go through it. A year from now, somebody else may teach Galatians again. And it's the same thing with all the other books in the New Testament, Old Testament. You read them over and over and over and over again. And you begin to glean it. You begin to see, you begin to know God by knowing what he says. And you see that you start to begin to see the big picture, what it's all about. Now, this lesson was entitled, The Challenge to Grow, and that's what it's all about, growing. We never quit growing. And if we're not growing, we're dying, okay? So the emphasis is to keep on growing, increasing, abounding in the work of the Lord. And our concern for one another, you know, the first thing that I've had brethren come to me and said, all the preachers going, I remember when, I'm going to stay up here because I can't, I drift off, you can't hear me, that microphone. Anyway, when Doug Petty was here, people come to me and says, what are we going to do? You know, we lost, our preacher's gone. What are we going to do? I said, it's going to be all right. You know, it's okay. You know, examples in the old, people didn't have paid preachers forever. I mean, the Old Testament, New Testament, these people weren't paid people. They went out and did the work of the Lord. And we got in our heads, we're just lost without a preacher. We need a preacher. Yeah, we need an eldership. We need deacons. We need all these people. We need Christians who are on fire for the Lord. Because if you're not, and if you left your first love, this is the thing, folks, and I'll say this over and over. If you don't desire to reach another soul, you could lose your own. Does that make sense? It's so important that we have that desire that we want to reach and touch another person with the gospel. I don't care. You don't have to teach them. You get somebody to help you. But we need to have that that desire to reach souls for the kingdom. It doesn't matter how many we are. Okay, we're maybe few in number. That's okay. The harvest truly is great, but the labors are few. The scriptures teach. And I remember Clarence saying over and over, when habits are hard to break. Old Paul Cantrell, he says, you get your hands up here like this and hold on to that pulpit and you speak from your word, speak the words, and don't use your hands, and people will listen to you. And I said, okay. I don't work either, but... now I lost my chain of thought, but that's all right. But we need to be boiling over for the Lord. And Clarence, that's what he said when we went to visitation. Only a few went, and that's okay. But he says, Jonathan, he said this over and over. He says, Jonathan and his armor bearer and went out. And they says, we'll just go out and take care of them Philistines or whatever. And he says, there's no restraint with the Lord, with many or a few. Which means what? We can do it. We can do it. We have to believe that we can still get the message of God across to people, planting the seed. Okay? You can see what I mentioned this morning about how many doors you have to knock to get a response. And sometimes you don't get any response. But still, you're doing the Lord's work because you're planting the seed. You're planting the seed of the gospel. That's what it's all about. That's why when you invite somebody and they turn you down, invite somebody else. They turn you down, invite somebody else, turn you down. You're still planting a seed, and you're responsible to do that. But if you quit doing it, you quit completely. Say, I give up. I give up. I will never talk to nobody again. You've lost your first love. If you lost your first love, you can lose your soul. Does that make sense? Anyway, all this is extra. I wouldn't plan on saying that. That's not even the lesson. I've only went through one page. I got two more pages. That'd take me another 2 hours. Well, I'm only going to take you about a little while. All right. We need to show love by having a unity of mind and heart. Okay? Let me look at another passage. In the book of Acts, it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Romans chapter 12, verse 16, it says, be of the same mind one toward another. Ephesians 4, 25, for we are members one of another. Philippians 2, 2, be like-minded, having the same love, being of the same of one accord. See the idea of being together, doing together. And you look at the scripture reading, and they continue steadfastly. They, Christians, continue steadfastly. Faithful, steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the teaching of Christ, okay? And they continually, daily of one accord, okay? The idea was they were together and they were building each other up in the most holy faith. Now, love is shown by a submissive spirit toward each other. Submissive. I've talked to people about submissiveness. Remember that, Barbara? Anyway, years ago. The point is how important it is to be submissive in our love. Now, I looked it up tonight because I said I'm going to make sure I get this right. Because it is something important. To submit. Now, in the Webster's Dictionary, it says to yield and to surrender, okay? To commit to the decision of another. Now, that's Webster's. Sometimes they don't hit it all. Now, I looked at W.E. Vine's Expository Dictionary, and it says to submit is to yield to spiritual guides in the churches. Now, he's a scholar, but more likely, he's not a member of the church that wrote W.E. Vines. He's an excellent source because he goes into Greek, and that's what you want. But the surrendering to spiritual leaders, that's what it's dealing with. And how important is that? I mean, submitting is a part of life. You submit to your government. You submit to the elders of the church. Submitting, yielding to, surrendering yourself to. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to those who are older, yea, all of you, be subject one to another. In other words, we need to sometimes, now, this is the thing. There are old men in the church that are not very mature. And there are old men in the church that gray hair are very in-depth in their knowledge. You see my point? But also, the admonition is you still should show the proper respect for the aged, okay? The older person, because they have a lot more background and experience that can help the younger ones, okay? So we need to always be willing to show the proper honor and respect to aged people. Young, I mean, I'm talking about women and men in the church specifically. But I think you need to have the proper respect for the older people regardless. Just have that type of submissiveness. Now, love is shown by highly esteeming one another. Okay. Now, this is where sometimes the Philippian letter says that talks about the things of others. But the idea is we need to understand people's situations and surroundings and all that stuff. But the bottom line is this, is that when you want to avoid being jealous of one another. And I'll give you an example, a couple examples. But say a person has been promoted to a high position, or they received their PhD, or whatever the case may be. You know, it may eat at us, and we may, oh. And in your heart, you think, man, I wish it wouldn't happen. Praise the Lord. If a person in the church has been promoted to a higher position in their job or educational, we need to compliment them. We need to esteem them highly. In other words, we need to continue to encourage them. Because if they're walking with Jesus, that's the whole essence of it. If they're living the example as a Christian, as they should, and they've been promoted to a higher degree, great. Amen. You know, we need to be of an encouragement to them people. And that's one idea. But what happens a lot of times is that it eats us up. Oh, they're making $100,000 a year, and I'm only making $20,000. Oh, and you start, next thing you know, you're backbiting and cutting that person down and trying to find any dirt you can. That could happen. It does happen. But we need, as Christians, to be above that and to be an encouragement to those people and to praise them and to tell them that you're so happy for them, happy that they've been able to achieve that. Does that make sense? Anyway. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13 says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake. No doubt this is talking about the eldership and how important is to work of the eldership. who are feeding the flock, okay, and to encourage them in their work, and for the work's sake. Because in eldership, the elders are doing the greatest work on earth, period, greater than the President of the United States. And I don't care who it is, when David Everson here, I praise him for what he's doing as an elder. Go to Martinsburg, I praise him. I talk to the elders. I encourage them for what they're doing, because it's the greatest work in the world, and it's the hardest work in the world. And so many times you're putting out fires. Elders put out fires constantly to keep the church in harmony. That's the way it is. It's tough. Because why? It's because of the behavior of man. Man sometimes doesn't do what they should do. You know, that's what they said about it in 1 Timothy 3:15. Why tarriest thou? He says, talking about behaving yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, and a pillar on the ground of the truth. In other words, we need to know how to behave in the house of God. And sometimes congregations are always, because there's friction, there's backbiting, there's envy, and all this stuff that takes place. And sometimes we can get, carried away. Anyway, something about it. Love shown by striving to encourage and build one another up. How important is it? Why are we here? To build one another up. That's the most important thing that we can do as Christians, because we're fighting against the wiles of the devil. We're fighting against Satan's darts that are being thrown at us day by day. And they're after us. They're after the Christians. Satan's after us. And we need to continue to encourage each other. And when people come in and maybe they haven't had a good day, maybe it's been a terrible day, maybe everything's going wrong, and we don't know their circumstance, situations, and we need to love them and encourage them and to build them up, always. That's the whole idea. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says, edify one another. 1 Peter 4, verse 10, as every man have received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. The gift. That's why I say everybody has a gift. Everybody has an ability. And that man, a word man could mean woman too. Man and woman. It doesn't matter. Everyone has a gift. And we all can encourage. We all can say kind things. He says so minister the same one to another, serving one another. That's what's all about. We're doing this together. Jude verse 20 says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Now the next one, I don't know how many more we're going to cover, but the next one, love shown through being kind. That always hits the nerve here, right here. Being kind. I don't care what happens in life, don't show yourself, okay? Be kind. If you're in a restaurant and maybe somebody didn't come in to work, so this one lady has to deal with twice the tables, and she's running herself to death to serve people, and you're impatient. Oh, it's taken me too long to get my food, and et cetera. And you have that sarcasm, and you feed that back to her, and her day's already a wreck. You see my point? Show consideration. Be kind. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ for sake have forgiven you. Have that tenderness in your heart, that forgiving spirit. Be kind to one another. Philippians 2, verse 2 says, be kind. Colossians 3, verse 13 says, show kindness. How do we show kindness? By how we act, by our actions. Love shown by helping the erring among us. Helping. I'm just going to use one passage. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Okay? The spirit of meekness. That's the essence of it is this. The strong ones are always there for the weaker ones, okay, to help them. We can never give up on anyone in the church. No one. Don't give up on them. Help them. Help them get back with God and the Christian walk. Love shown by refraining from speaking evil of each other. That word refraining means to stop. To stop speaking evil of each other. Okay? How do you do that? How do you do that? I'll tell you an example, and it helped me, and it helped anybody, if you're willing to do it. If you have aught against your brothers or your sisters in the church, and this is a battle. I've been in the church 40-some years, and it happens from time to time. You get upset, or you get upset with a person, and before you know it, you're starting to get bitter. And before you know it, you're getting to the point of hate. That's the opposite of what we're supposed to be doing. I'll tell you what's helped me is pray for that person. You pray for that person, I'll guarantee you that will take that bitterness away. And you keep praying for that person over and over again. And you won't hate that person. That bitterness will go away. And you start to behave like you should as Christians. Okay? We're all human, and we all have these tendencies. But God wants us to be above there. He wants us to love our brother. And anyway, James chapter 4, verse 11 says, speak not evil one of another. 1 Peter 3:9 says, not rendering evil for evil, but or railing for railing, but counterwise blessing. Not rendering, not returning, railing for railing. That deals with insults. You insulted me. You hurt my feelings. And I'm going to get back at you. Now, that's the opposite of what God wants. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 17 says, recompense to no man evil for evil. What does that mean? You do not repay or get even. Always remember that. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. God will take care of it. But sometimes we want to do that. Okay? I'm going to stop there. I got another page and a half, but there's no way I'll be able to cover that. Too many. I hope the few comments I've made, I hope. You know, I'll tell you, anybody that tries to do this, just try to do it and see how hard it is. But everybody that tries to preach and teach, I don't care who it is, you're going to find out they're trying to say something that will help you, okay? I'm trying to say something that will help us all to grow in our love for God and love for each other and to be for each other. And to have the character that God wants us to have, okay? And if I hope that I've said something that could help us all. And I've done my best. And I pray for that every time I get an opportunity, that I just do my best and I give all I can give. But anyway, if there's anyone here who has not obeyed the gospel of Christ, if you have not put your Lord in baptism, the Bible continues to say in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If you need to repent of your sins to make a good confession before man that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Let me say something else, because sometimes there are maybe some people don't want to be baptized in front of anybody. They would do it alone. That's fine. One person could baptize a man. They can make a good confession before man that they believe Jesus Christ, Son of God, and be immersed for remission of sins. There's a lot of people that don't want to be around people. They can't do it in front of people. And that's okay. But if you know what you need to do to become a Christian, by being baptized for the remission of your sins, or you need the prayers of the church, this is your opportunity while we stand and sing.